Blog Talk Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio. Yeah, what time is it? It's time for Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Idea Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. And it's also about having fun with your friends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. If you would like to join in on the fun, call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, that number is 714-242-5272. You can also follow Brilliant Ideas on Facebook and Twitter. Brilliant Ideas Radio. Food, friends, and much, much more. And now, here's the man with the master plan.
Hey, good morning, everybody out there in internet radio. This is Brilliant Ideas, and you are listening to the Brilliant Ideas radio show. And this morning, it is a overcast, cold day and here in California, and if everything is going as it's supposed to, my trusty sidekick, Mr. Crispy Critter, are you there over there in Florida? How's it going today?
Yo, Brilliant Ideas, everything be cool, G-Money. yeah, it's awesome here, man. Like, we had a couple days of overcast, and it actually brought some cool weather, and we got clear skies. High of 58 today. Awesomeness.
All right, and we're over here. We're probably in the 60s today, but you know what? As we always say, we bring sunshine to the airwaves. And I got a question for you there, buddy. What happened to you last week? I get stuck with the show. You don't show up. Were you kidnapped, or did you have a hot date, or what the heck happened?
Let's say just a bottle of tequila and some Mexican midgets, hookers.
Well, that's all I can relay right now. Well, I was kind of thinking it was either you got kidnapped by one of your biker chick girlfriends, or you had a rough Friday night the night before. So I carried on the show without you, and you know what? It went pretty well, so you might not want to do that very often, because I think I might get used to doing it by myself, if you get my drift.
Right. Yes, I get it. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
And by the way, while we're talking about Friday nights, we are going to be starting our new show next Friday night. It's we're going to get a little unhinged and unplugged and do some crazy stuff on Friday nights for the partying crowd, and that will be starting next Friday night, and we'll just call it Grills Gone Wild. It should be an interesting show. We're going to be introducing new bands, and we're going to have some comedians and some other things on the show, and just kind of let our hair down. And you know what? I forgot to ask you, what time are we supposed to have the show? Because if it's 9 o'clock here, it's midnight there. Are you going to be able to hang in there, Crispy, at midnight on the East Coast?
Friday nights, I am usually up until about 4 in the morning. That's my big night to stay up and be crazy all night long.
Well, get ready to be crazy on the radio next Friday night at around midnight your time. We're going to crank it up and give it a shot. We need the extra show so we can increase our amount of time on the air and move to number one. We're sneaking up on number one. We were still number two last week, but I think the extra show will bring in some extra listeners. So number one, if you're listening, you better hold on tight, because we're right behind you.
That's right. We're coming through like a runaway freight train. But, yeah, that gives me plenty of time in case I do have a hot date. I can still go out with a hot date, come home, and do Grills Gone Wild. That's right.
Yeah, and this week, I guess, what's today, the 11th? So we're about 3 days away from Valentine's, and I guess you've probably got some big Valentine plans out there. Where I'm sure you've got some lover lane stuff set up for next Tuesday. You got anything planned for next Tuesday?
Sure, I sure do. Yes, I do. It'll probably be me in the pizza box. That'll be my Valentine's Day. and maybe some beer.
Well, I kind of pictured you like going on Craigslist, and there's got to be somebody out there in Florida who, in your area, who's posted something on Craigslist, and maybe you guys could go out.
I'm sure there is. I'd rather go buy a magazine and hang out by myself with some of the awesomeness on Craigslist.
Nah, come on now. I can see it now. You call up your girl on Craigslist and you get all dressed up in your fancy duds, your crispy duds, and I guess that's probably like leather and lace out there for you, right?
Yes, leather and lace.
And then I can see you driving up on a Harley, picking up your date. And then you guys could go to like the local taqueria and get yourself. Well, I could see you gazing into each other's eyes and sharing a burrito, or maybe in your case, one of the taquitos. But
the taquitos at the convenience store, or I'll just make another trip to the vegan restaurant and have another tofu sandwich. Yum yum yum.
Well, I guess since it is Valentine's Day, to get everybody in the mood and picturing you, we can all envision you on your date. We need a little mood music for you. So I can just picture you staring into the eyes of your Craigslist date. And you know the old movie, Lady and the Tramp? We talked about it last week. Well, here you go. Everybody envision old Crispy out there on his Craigslist date.
Oh, it's a beautiful night, and we call it Bella Notte. Look at the skies, they have stars in their eyes, on this lovely Bella Notte. Side by side with your loved one, you'll find an enchantment to hear.
Are you feeling it, Crispy? Are you sharing your burrito?
Yes, I'm sharing my taquito with my lover right about now. As we stare into her eyes as they twinkle from the neon sign from the convenience store.
We just kind of picture that going on there in Florida, and so I hope you enjoy your little Craigslist dates, and we got to fill us in next week with all the details.
I sure will, wink, wink.
And anyway, I guess what we got to do is somehow segue from there into our guest. Speaking of, before I do that, I guess if you follow me on Craigslist on my mind. If you follow, yeah, don't follow me on Craigslist. But if you follow us on Facebook, you noticed that I made some cowboy chili yesterday. And Crispy, I was going to ask you, do you know why I call it cowboy chili?
No, actually, I don't. I was kind of curious. Why do you call it cowboy chili?
Now watch this segue. Watch the segue. I call it cowboy chili because all night long I giddy up and go check the herd. And speaking of fragrances, let's bring in our next guest. If all you people out there have been following Joe and reading on our blog, we've got a great guest on this morning, and we appreciate her taking the risk and coming on our show this morning. And our first guest is MJ Rose. And MJ, are you there? Are you hanging in there with us?
I'm barely here. Barely sure I should stay after that segue.
Uh-oh.
Sorry about that, but I was trying to figure out a way to bring in fragrances, and I guess that's not the best way to do it. But welcome to our show.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
We wanted to have you on the show because we understand you're be perfectly honest, I'm not much of a reader, as you can probably tell, and I'm not real familiar with
that. Natural jokes and non-readers, this is a show for me.
But we know you're an international best-selling author, and you've published quite a few books, I think 11 novels so far, and are coming out with a new book. And we wanted to have you on the show because, you know, this is Valentine's season, and we just thought that, you know, the book of lost fragrances sounded something like very mysterious, yet also had a little bit of romance to it. We want to have you on our show. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us about your new book.
Sure. The book's coming out in March, but if anybody pre-orders it now as a gift, I have a website called The Book of Lost Fragrances.
Okay.
Which is really, or mjrose.com, either one. And if you just click on the Book of Lost Fragrances at the site, you'll see something called The Scent, and it gives you instructions. If you pre-order the book from any bookstore online, we'll send you, or the person you're buying the book for, a sample of the perfume that was created by a New York perfumer after he read the book. He was inspired to actually create the perfume, which is kind of exciting.
Okay.
So the book is called, I don't know, the book is a combination of a lot of things. It's based on the idea, which is a fact, that Cleopatra was very, as were all Egyptians, very involved with fragrance because they used it both cosmetically and it was the way that the soul reached the heavens on the smoke from the incense.
Okay.
So Cleopatra had a perfume factory, which Mark Anthony built for her in the desert, and it was found about 15 years ago by some Israeli archaeologists, and they've identified it as such, and they found remnants of a lot of exotic and extinct flowers and plants that were used in creating fragrances. And one of the other facts about Cleopatra and her perfume was that she kept a book of formulas of her favorite fragrances. In those days, priests created the fragrances because of the religious and ceremonial connotations and uses of the fragrance.
Right.
Her priest kept a book of these fragrance formulas. And that book was written about by some very famous historians, Pliny the Elder and Cicero. And after the first century AD, it was never seen again. It's been lost for over 2,000 years. So I thought it would be really interesting to explore the idea of what was in that book of lost fragrances. What would those fragrances be, and would any of them be, in fact, mystical or magical? And so I've written a book about a perfuming family in France who the family legend is that they somewhere have this book of lost fragrances, that it was brought back by one of their ancestors in 1798. Who didn't know what it was because they couldn't interpret hieroglyphics yet. So, but no one's ever seen it. And so the book is a mystery that takes place in the present when the family starts looking for the book, and it cuts back and forth between ancient Egypt and the present and also France during the time of the French Revolution. And it's a suspense and romance. I call it historical suspense, but there is a love story in it. And there's a lot about fragrance in it. And Publishers Weekly has named it one of the 10 best mysteries of the spring. And it's been chosen by the independent booksellers to be on their March list. And it's going to be in the Starbucks Book Club. And it's going to be a Pulpwood Queens selection this summer. So it's getting a lot of nice attention. And we're doing this really special perfume selection now where people go to thebookoflostfragrances.com and click on the scent, they can find out how to pre-order the book and get a sample of the scent that Joya Studios in New York created for the book.
Now, the perfume is called Soulmates, is that right?
The perfume is a French name, Amsoir, which means soulmates in French. It's called Amsoir, the scent of soulmates, yeah. The idea behind Cleopatra's scent, the part that I invented, was that she was very much in love with Julius Caesar, even though she remarried Mark Antony. That was political. Julius Caesar was the love of her life, and Cleopatra was an Egyptian, but she was also Greek. Her family was Greek, and the Greeks believed in reincarnation. So Cleopatra would have believed in reincarnation, and so the idea behind the fragrance is that she asked her priest to create a fragrance that if she wore it, she'd be able to identify her soulmate, thinking that in her next life she'd be able to wear this fragrance and find Julius Caesar again. It's kind of that's just a little thing behind the book, but that's what inspired the perfumer.
And it's being Valentine's Day coming up, who doesn't like perfume at this time of year? So the book actually launches in March, is that correct?
Yes, it comes out March 15th, but since it's Valentine's Day and there's a perfume involved, it would be a great present to give somebody. You can send them you can send them a note saying that you bought them the book and the fragrance is coming in mail. And the fragrance is a very special, it's a sample, but it's a very special roll-on little bottle that's oil because ancient Egyptians used oil-based fragrances. They last much longer. They're much expensive now, today, to create. But Frédéric Bouchardet, who's the perfumer who made Amsour, wanted to use that little ancient, he loves using oil. So he created the perfume with the oil. So it's really luscious. It smells of nothing like what you do during the night. It smells of jasmine and roses and white flowers, orange blossom, with a hint of something mysterious and kind of old, frankincense. And
sounds like something that Crispy should use out there when he's going out on his date with his Craigslist date for Valentine's.
Yes, I just may find Cleopatra this Valentine's Day.
Yeah, who knows? Mm-hmm. You might be her soulmate and didn't even know it.
It's possible with the scents that I put off. Oh yes.
And like you were saying, if anybody wants to order your book, they can go to mjrose.com, and there's actually a link on our page here for the radio show today that you can actually click on that link, and it takes you to where you can order the book, and you can also pick up the new fragrance. And like MJ said, what an excellent Valentine's gift for that special one in your life, and also get a good read out of it too. And MJ, the other books you have, the other 11 novels, can you tell us a little bit about those for those who may not be familiar with some of your writings? And I assume they can get these books also on your website.
Sure. So the books, the thing that ties all the books together is that they're all suspense, but they're all quite different. Some are more erotic than others. Speaking of the two guys, it's called Lying in Bed, which is, you can get that in trade paperback or e-books. And all the books are listed at mjrose.com. But Lying in Bed is kind of an erotic novel. So is Lip Service, an erotic novel that I've written. And I have a series of books that take place in New York City with a New York City sex therapist that are thrillers. And there are 11 of them. So I'm afraid of starting to roll off names. Nobody will remember anything. But there's Lip Service. And there's the Halo Effect, the Delilah Complex, and the Venus Fix. And those are all about the New York City sex therapist. And then for people less into gritty and sex, there's the Reincarnationist series, which there are three so far, which have to do with reincarnation and history. And those are historical suspense. And there's the Reincarnationist and the Memorist and the Hypnotist. And the Book of Lost Fragrances is the next book in that world. They're not connected in that you can read them out of order, but they're all in the same world. And then there are some other books at the website that are all individual standalones that are all psychological suspense. So it's basically smart suspense, a lot of characters, strong plots, historical stuff, some erotic stuff, and there are 11 of them, and the Book of Lost Fragrances is indeed the 12th.
Okay. And now I understand, I was reading a little bit about your bio, and if I understand correctly, Lip Service was your first book, right? It was published in, what, 1998?
1998, yes. Lip Service was my first book.
And that one you actually published yourself as an e-book, and then was it the first book that was taken from an e-book and put into mainstream publishing house after it was on as an e-book?
Yeah, what happened was I had an agent, and we had a lot of interest on Lip Service from a lot of publishers, but ultimately they were very confused about how they wanted to market it because it crossed a lot of genres. It was erotic, it was a mystery, and that at the time there wasn't as much erotic fiction as there is that was mainstream erotic. So
uh-huh.
All the publishers said, you know, we'd love to see something else she's written, but we don't know what to do with this book. So I was in advertising at the time, still am, and I said to my agent, you know, this is silly. I know how to advertise this book. Readers don't care about what genre it is. I'm going to put it online as an e-book, which we didn't even call it an e-book then. We called it an electronic download. The word e-book didn't exist. But
okay.
I'm going to put it online as an electronic download, and I'm going to advertise it on the Internet, which barely existed either. I mean, advertising on the Internet barely existed. And
right.
I'm going to test 3 or 4 different ways of advertising it. And when I find the way that works, I'm going to give you all the stats back, and you can go back to the publishers and show them how to advertise, how to market the book. So she was like, oh, don't do that. Self-publishing is a terrible thing, and nobody does that. And what will it mean if the book is on the Internet? And everybody was hysterical because nobody had ever done this before, and everybody thought it sounded like the worst thing in the world. But I had been on the Internet a lot, and there was absolutely no reason not to try it. So I put it on the Internet, and I did the advertising, and the book started really selling. And before I even had a chance to compile all the data, the Literary Guild and the Doubleday Book Club stumbled upon the book and contacted me and asked me if they could buy it as a featured alternate selection in the book club, which I, of course, was delighted to do. And I went back to the agent, and I said, look at what's happened. And she was like, oh, my God, this is a brave new world. Nobody ever thought this, blah, 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 blah. And she took the book back to the publishers, and Simon & Schuster bought it. And I was on the Today Show and in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, and it was all very exciting because it was indeed the first e-book, as it turned out, the first e-book that anybody had self-published on the Internet or anywhere else. I mean, it was an e-book, so it had to be the Internet. The first e-book that got picked up by a major New York publishing house. I sold 3,000 copies on my own, and then they published it. It was published in about 12 countries.
Yeah. I mean, look at it now. It's like everything's gone full circle. You started off with the electronic book, and then it was picked up by the publisher, and now it's gone full circle, and now everything's going back to the electronics, and I guess they're trying to do away with books. I don't think it'll ever happen, but
no, they're not. They're not at all. They're not trying to do away with books. Hey, you know, that's like saying when they came out with mass market books, they were trying to do away with hardcovers, or that when they came out with audiobooks, they were trying to do away with books. E-books are just another form, just like you can listen to a song on the radio in your car, on a CD, on DVD in your computer, or in a stereo. Or you can play it at the piano. That's all these things are. They're delivery systems, and nobody's going to do away with books. And as a matter of fact, kids who are teenagers and younger don't want to read books online at all. They're online so much that they actually want to read only print books. So I think that e-books are going to replace, for a large part, they're going to replace mass market or throwaway books, any book that you don't care about saving.
Right.
Soon buy an e-book and buy a mass market for at the airport, but I don't think that print books are going away. I think that digital is obviously important, and I think that digital is going to probably wind up being at least 50%, if not 60% of all book sales. But it's going to be a long time before people stop buying actual books. As a matter of fact,
I agree with you.
The people pre-ordering the Book of Lost Fragrances, I've been watching it, and they can pre-order the hardcover or the e-book, and the price is only $5 different, and they've been buying the print book 5-1. I mean, people are absolutely buying the print version of this book. which is good because it's really pretty and it has end papers in it and it has a glossary with pictures of perfume bottles and all kinds of fun stuff that isn't usually in a novel.
Oh, sweet. Very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. The publisher made it quite beautiful.
So book is coming out here soon for Valentine's, and we do appreciate you coming on the show and talk a little bit about it. And anybody who's listening, once again, make sure you go to mjrose.com or you can click on the link on our show link here and go and buy yourself a book and get some of the Soulmate perfume that was designed for the book. And MJ, before you go, I spring a question on most people when they come on the show, and it kind of catches them off guard. But you mentioned you were actually in advertising and marketing. What I always ask people: tell us something that nobody really knows, that like a hobby you may have, or do you sing or dance, or do anything else you may do separate than actually being an author and a publisher?
Something I do separate than that. Well, I mean, nothing really exciting. I mean, I cook, I like to swim, I have a dog.
You cook. Hey, this is a cooking show, and you cook.
Oh,
so,
is it?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I have a novel about a woman who cooks, and her mother was a chef. It's called Sheet Music, and the woman in the book was, her mother was a cookbook writer. And, yeah,
okay.
I wrote the whole book with the Food Channel on in the background. It was so much fun. I loved writing about food. It was wonderful.
Hey, what's that book called? What's it called again?
It's called Sheet Music.
Is it also on your website?
It is, yes.
Okay. Well, we have a lot of foodies who listen to the show, and so there's one they ought to check out. If it's written about cookbooks and cooking, that'll be of interest to the foodies. But we do appreciate you coming on and taking a few minutes to tell us about your new book. And you're welcome to come back anytime if you have some more. Yes, do you have some more books in the future you got planned?
Yeah, well, I'm really concentrating on this one coming out, and I'm in the process of writing one for 2013. So,
okay.
Busy. So it was so nice of you guys to have me, and I really appreciate it. I hope you have a great day.
Thank you. We appreciate you coming on.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. And there you go. That was MJ Rose. And check out her book. It looks like it should be a dandy. It's coming out, and you can get it for Valentine's, the Book of Lost Fragrances, and go to her website. And, Crispy, we are going to go to our break, because I've got to go take care of the herd, and I just want to as we go to over to break, I'm just still thinking about your Craigslist date, and I figured I'd play maybe a little song for you and your Craigslist date on Tuesday as we go on the break. And we come back after the short break, we'll have the one and only Kitty Cat. She'll be coming on with her sinful desserts. So everybody stay tuned.
Sweet.
And Crispy, this goes out to you.
Oh, thanks, Brilliant.
Strangers in the night, exchanging glances, wandering in the night. What were the chances we'd be sharing love before the night was through? Something in your eyes was so inviting, something in your smile was so exciting, something in my heart told me I must have you. Strangers in the night, two lonely people, we were strangers in the night, up to the moment when we said our first hello. Little did we know Love was just a glance away, a warm embracing dance away. And ever since that night, we've been together, lovers at first sight. In love forever, it turned out so right. For strangers in the night. A glance away, a warm embracing dance away. Ever since that night, we've been together, lovers at first sight. In love forever, it turned out so right. For strangers.
Doobie doobie doo, you and your Craigslist date for Valentine's. How do you like that?
Awesome. It's made me think of maybe I should go to a truck stop, pick up a lawless shirt.
Well, we got on our show the one and only Kitty Cat, and I guess I got to cue up her intro music here, so. Let me do this. Hit the button. If I can find the button, hit the button. Great ideas. We're not getting it. Are we there?
There it is.
Intro
there it is.
To things in full Saturdays with Kitty Cat, your queen of sweets.
And there you go, Kitty Cat. Are you there with us over there?
Oh, my God. I get such a kick out of hearing that each time. You have no idea. Christy,
hey,
I missed you.
Sweets.
I missed you last week. Where were you? We were going to send the cookie police out to find you.
Oh, the cookie police. I'll show up for the cookie police any day of the week.
Frank and I were conspiring how we were going to lure you back in. So we had layers of different flavored cookies on a very, very long rope.
Food and high heels will get me back in the game real quick.
You mean
food and high heels.
Well, I must say, you both bring a whole new meaning to the two words, terrible twos, but... I love you both dearly.
Yes, we do. Well, I understand you have a little special for us today about chocolate, and you know how I feel about chocolate. So what do you have up your sleeve or in your boots about chocolate today?
Well, it's how we all feel about chocolate, I think. My goodness, I think it's one of those just heavenly concoctions that I – thank the Aztecs and the Mayans for creating, you know, some 2,000 years ago. And when I was getting myself ready for today's show, I thought to myself, you know, how did chocolate and Valentine's Day really kind of get together? I mean, they were two completely different things. And I found out some very interesting tidbits of information. You interested in hearing them?
Yeah, well, inquiring minds want to know, how did chocolate get hooked up with Valentine's Day?
Well, actually, what happened was, the Aztecs and the Mayans were the ones that discovered chocolate, and they actually started flavoring their drinks with it. And come to find that they didn't know at the time, but chocolate is loaded with the chemical called phenylethylamine.
It's easy for you to say.
I had to say it like 10 times before I finally got it right. But phenylethylamine, and it's not something until recently they discovered that it is actually what gives you that really great high feeling when you eat chocolate and that really positive feeling. So what he ended up doing was, of course, Montezuma, who was the Aztec ruler of the time, would drink these chocolate drinks before going into his harem.
Okay. I'm just thinking about Montezuma's Revenge. Go ahead.
So this I guess excitement that he used to get from drinking the chocolate before entering his harem and then doing his daily duties was how the love and the romance kind of got associated with chocolate, and I had absolutely no idea.
Wow.
But that's really how it all started. Isn't that cool? That is just so interesting. And
it is cool.
And actually, what was even more interesting to me was they used to forbid nuns from drinking it and eating it because they thought that it was so powerful. It was just a powerful aphrodisiac. And when I read that, I laughed so hard. I thought these poor nuns have just been abused all these years and prevented from eating chocolate.
Interesting. Very interesting.
So if they ate too much chocolate, they were getting none? Or well, I guess they were getting some then.
Oh, my God. This is turning into some kind of show, Frank, I tell you. I hand it to you. But, yeah, I guess they just felt that, you know, the level of excitement and attraction and pleasure that chocolate would bring was just a little too much for these little girls running around in their little black habits. So it was just a forbidden thing, a forbidden pleasure. But thank goodness they can take it in moderation. At least I hope so now.
That's like you heard about the nun who ate chocolate. She made a habit out of it. Oh, God.
That was a good one. I like that one. But,
so do you have, like, some recipes and things that you've come up with, chocolate, some fancy things that
I have some really great recipes that I'm posting one. Probably the first one's going to be posted in about an hour, and it'll show up on my page. And it's a double chocolate. It's a really sexy double chocolate terrine. It's a layered with brownie and a very, very thick chocolate fudge. And I did it with some segmented oranges that were marinated in an orange blossom honey that I happened to find. And so that's the post that's going up today. And then I've got some other great chocolate posts that are going up tomorrow and Monday. And then a really great surprise on Tuesday for Valentine's Day. So stay tuned for those. It's www.goodfoodgourmet.com.
Okay.
And for those of you that are interested in the future show schedule, I've actually put that on the Munsey's Gourmet page under the notes section, but I also put it on my page. I just shared the link before coming on the show. And that pretty much lays the entire schedule for the whole year. And so if people are interested in different topics and different desserts, they can take a look and see what's on the schedule, and then they can tune in. But these chocolate desserts are really going to be killer in the next couple of days. And just one last tidbit of information that I found that I thought was interesting.
Okay.
Do you know who it was that created the first chocolate box?
The first chocolate box?
I mean, the first, like, heart-shaped chocolate box for Valentine's Day.
You scared me
there.
I'll
take a guess.
Who?
Henry the Eighth.
No,
I have no idea. I was going to say, Whitman.
You mean for all those women he had to take care of? Is that?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, no, it was actually the Cadbury Brothers from London. I'm sure you guys have had Cadbury chocolate before. You must have had at least Cadbury eggs.
Oh,
and
yeah,
so,
nothing like a
growing
Cadbury egg.
Growing up in Australia, Cadbury was our chocolate, and that was something that I found that I didn't know either. The late 1800s, they were the first that created the first heart-shaped box to put their chocolates in, and it just exploded from there. So thank the Englishman.
Thank you, Englishman.
Very cool. Thank you, Englishman.
Just one more thing. I know today for me is a short show because you've got so many fantastic guests on today.
Yes.
And many of my friends that I can't wait to hear. But did you know, and I love the Japanese culture, but the Japanese culture in like the late 70s started a tradition where it was only women who gave men chocolate on Valentine's Day. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
No. Mm-hmm. And then exactly a month later, on March 14th, the men reciprocate with a day called White Day.
Okay.
And they then have to give their significant others, wives, girlfriends, whatever, to thank them. I guess they kind of guilt them into into giving them something in return. So they created this white day that they have to then kind of officially thank them for the chocolates that they provided them on Valentine's Day. And then there's the third, and then, of course, the Japanese being so perfect and so great with manners and everything, they created a third day called Black Day. And Black Day is for all of us single people that don't get a, not even one damn chocolate on Valentine's Day or even White Day. So we all can commiserate together on Black Day. And I just thought, well, what a way to make money, and leave it to the Japanese to figure that out. And it's even celebrated in South Korea too.
And there you go, folks. The history of chocolate on the Kitty Cat Show.
That you just never knew I was going to be so full of information today, did you?
Yeah, we're full of information. Yeah, we're full of information and other things too. But
you thought I was just going to show up in black leather with my whip in one hand, whipped cream in the other.
Call myself Tareen.
Call myself Tareen, and that was going to be it, right?
Exactly. I feel like I was educated, and all I was looking for was a hot tub filled with chocolate. We all go jump in.
There you go.
Right.
There you go. In a nutshell,
chocolate. On that note, we have other guests waiting, and I'm sure they're just so thrilled to hear about the history of chocolate.
I hope that they'll be adding to the pot. Let's hope that they'll be cooking with some chocolate and making all kinds of interesting things. But love you guys.
Love you.
We love you for coming by, and we'll
see you next time.
Stay tuned for the recipe. It'll be popping up in about an half an hour or so.
Great.
Sweet.
See ya.
Have a great one. I'll talk to you next month.
All right.
Okay, Kitty.
And there you go. That's Kitty Cat. And check out the website and find out more about chocolate and Valentine's. And we have got our next two callers on the line here. I'm not even going to go to break. I'm going to bring them on here. But first, hang on a second. We do have a caller. We have a caller from New Jersey, Crispy, and you know who that might be.
I'm pretty sure I know who that is with all the awesome pictures he's been posting of my face.
Oh, my God. So we'll take 2 minutes before we bring on our guest. I hope our guest don't mind, but if I don't bring him on, he'll complain. He'll write nasty things on our Facebook page. So have on the line is the one, the only, Hoboken Eddie. Good morning, Hoboken. What are you doing?
Strangers in the night, they're bumping uglies, Crispies in my sight. It's getting ugly, I just ripped my tights. I'm feeling frisky ever since that night.
Oh, my God.
We call him Chris.
There he is, folks. And on that note, we never know where the show's going to go when you hit that button. We have our next guest. We appreciate them coming on the show with us this morning. We have been able to snaggle them into this crazy food cooking grilling idea show. And if I hit the buttons right here, we should have Chef Scott Pearson and his wife, Deanne. Are you guys there?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Good morning. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
If you've been listening in, you're in for a treat.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I'll tell you one thing. Catherine is a hard act to follow.
Yeah, it is a hard act to follow, but we'll let you try it out and see what you can do. We do appreciate you coming on and been talking to you guys via telephone and on emails and all, and wanted to have you on and tell a little bit about what you guys are up to. And first question I have is, I guess, Chef Scott, explain to me what exactly is infusion. I keep saying infusion on your site. Tell us what infusion is.
Well, infusion is the name of our company. And I've, throughout my years in the culinary industry, I've always been somewhat of a rebel and believe that food is meant to be enjoyed and there are no rules. And infusing different flavors, different techniques, different cultures is something that is a passion of ours. And my wife Dee and I share that same passion. And, you know, we just feel that food is, there are no rules when it comes to it.
Amen to that. There are no rules when it comes to food. And Deanne, I understand, I don't know if you knew this, but when I talked to Scott on the phone, we were talking about him coming on, and I said, would you like your wife to come on too? And he said, oh, yes, please. I love that because she's my soulmate. So welcome to the show, soulmate.
Well, thank you very much.
How the heck did you find this guy?
Through his food, of course.
Well, Chef,
we
do appreciate you coming on here, and kind of tell us a little bit about yourself, because I guess people can read here on our site, but I understand that you kind of got your background all started and becoming a chef and working with some pretty famous people. And tell us a little bit about how you got involved with food and the business you're in today.
Well, actually, it all started, I'll never forget, it was 7 years old, and I come from an Italian family, and it was one holiday, I believe it was Christmas, and my cousins are outside, they're playing stickball, and I'm in the kitchen, I'm watching my grandmother and my mother cook these phenomenal dishes, and we weren't rich, but out of meager ingredients, this feast was put out, and from that point forward, at 7 years old, you know, I call it my culinary, pretty much culinary wake up. You know, at that point, I knew what I was going to do for the rest of my life, and that was cook. And
great.
That gave me the passion. And 17 years old, I started washing dishes and worked my way up through there. And I happened to be fortunate enough to, you know, meet a chef named Bobby Flay, and started working with him. Then went to Vegas and opened up Mesa Grill there, and from then it just really took off. You know, the passion was always there. It was just something that, it was a culinary moment of clarity. That's what it's called.
So you worked with Bobby Flay and Wolfgang Puck and Carla Pellegrino. And
Carla Pellegrino, yes, from Rao's in New York.
Cool. And then also you were actually a personal chef for Elton John, can't say her name, Celine Dion.
Celine Dion. Yep.
And of course, Crispy had a question too. You were also a chef for Jimmy Carter too. And I think Crispy had a question about Jimmy Carter, didn't you, Crispy?
Yes, actually I did. Seems how you did cook for good old Jimmy Carter. Did you ever use Billy Beer in any of the recipes for him? Do you have any Billy Beer?
I never used Billy Beer. Actually, it was a big event when his son Jack was running for office in 2006 in Nevada. I get a call from the Secret Service, and they wanted to hire me to do a big event with Jimmy and Jack Carter, and that's how that came about. It was a great experience. I mean, it really was sitting there. It was really amazing. It was really amazing.
I was thinking peanuts too. Did you have peanuts in any of the meals that you served present?
No peanuts. No peanuts at all. Actually, we did a big lamb feast. It was pretty cool. You know, he's
cool.
And just seeing this man, he's like 5 foot nothing. You know, and then remembering all the things he did, bringing the peace. At least that's why I was insane to be in the same room. It was just, it was truly a blessing.
And Deanne, I also see that you have like 20 years experience in food and wine journalism. And how did you get involved in it yourself? Did you start when you were 7 year old writing about food and wine, or did that come later in life?
No, she probably started drinking it at 7.
Yeah.
Well, ironically, I actually didn't even start drinking until I was in my 30s. But I just have always had a passion for food, and wine came later, obviously. But it's ironic, Scott and I have very similar stories, and that's one of the things that made us hit it off so well. I also grew up in my grandmother's kitchen, learning how to make bread from scratch and how to have good manners and, enjoy having people in the kitchen that you love, and that's just the thing that made me love food so much. And when I saw Scott in the kitchen, it just made us connect, and ever since then, we've been taking off like crazy.
so like two food freaks that fell in love, huh?
You got it.
Forget about it. Absolutely. It's just great. You know, the culture I come from, the Italian culture, food is part of every aspect of life, from birth to death. Everything is celebrated with food, and it's just something that really, really stuck with me. I'll never forget that holiday in the kitchen. 7 years old, I knew from that point forward this is what I was going to do. And
you guys have a website? I just noticed that we didn't put anything on our site about your website. Do you actually have a website that people can go to?
Yes,
the things you're doing?
We will. We are launching March 1st, and we are going to be advertising that on our Facebook fan page, and that's at facebook.com/infusioncooking. And people can keep an eye out there, and we'll be posting like crazy when we go to launch.
Now, I understand, too,
week.
That what you guys do is, Chef Scott, you actually go and you give lessons on cooking to people and do personal chef-type operations.
Yes.
To different people. Okay, can you tell us about that?
I'm sorry, say that one more time. You broke up.
I think you tell us a little bit about that, about your what you do, about the cooking school and things that you do for people.
Oh, sure. Right now, we actually have, there's a website that's selling our videos right now, nerdy.com, and they're instructional videos. Pretty much we're going to be doing a series of basics, knife skills and whatnot, and then gradually working up to full meals. We have a personal chef service that what we're doing is I actually go to the house. We throw a cooking party where it's totally interactive. And the customers actually, we bring aprons, and they're actually helping and having cooking lessons while we're preparing a full meal for all the guests. And it's totally interactive. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, it's something that's taking off pretty good.
And that's nerdy.com. That's nerdi.com.
Nerdi, yep. We actually were the number one download in Australia.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Australia. Now, why Australia?
That's where the website is formed, and they just got their one in the United States up, I believe.
Huh.
And it started in Australia, and they had asked us to, you know, if they can have our videos, buy our videos from us, and we said absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah, they spotted us.
Now, I understand, too, that I don't know if I'm letting the cat out of the bag, but you're working on a project in Santa Barbara?
Yes. Yeah, we're working on a restaurant in Santa Barbara, and that's in the works as we speak right now. We're also looking into a gourmet food truck. We have quite a few things in the fire, and then we have a nice little event coming up in Modesto with the Serrano Social Club, so we're going to do a pop-up there. And what I want to do is basically create dishes with all of his gourmet coffees and show how you can infuse coffees and teas into savory dishes.
Huh. And when is that
happening?
We're
very excited.
That we're talking with Carol from Sunblessed Orchids now.
Okay.
And we're trying to nail down a date for March.
Well,
and,
what I got to ask, too, I asked you guys, we're running short on time because we had so much talk about chocolate and fragrances,
yeah.
But I have to ask a question. My question is always, tell us something that nobody really knows about you, maybe a secret talent that you have, that we all know that you're a chef, and Deanne, we know that you're a journalist, but tell us something. What do you guys do for fun on the sidelines?
Wow. We love to get tattoos. We frequently get tattoos, and a little secret about me, I'm probably the world's worst barbecue guy you've ever met.
Really?
I suck at it. I don't know if I can say that on the air, but
yeah, you can say it on the air.
Definitely.
Wow.
You know, I'm not a grill master, that's for sure.
I mean, you and I need to get we need to get together because I'm not that good in the kitchen, but I'm good on the grill. We need to swap information. I'll show you some grilling, and you show me how to do it in the kitchen.
Well, absolutely. The pop up in Modesto is hopefully you'll be able to make it down there. It's going to be a televised event. I think the Fox Network is involved. So it's going to be a pretty big event.
I think I'm scheduled to be there, so I'm looking forward to that too. And Deanne, okay. Deanne, open up your closet and let a secret out. What? Tell us something about you nobody knows.
I'm sitting here frantically trying to think of something that nobody knows about me, but I'm.
I know a lot.
Can you ride a unicycle?
Oh, I rode a Harley. How's that?
There you go.
Close enough.
Close enough. Well, we do appreciate you guys coming on and sharing your story. And give the website again so people are listening. If they want to go check out your website, the address is
online.
They can check out our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/infusioncooking. And they can check out our how-to videos at nerdy.com.
Great.
Yes,
do appreciate
I just
you guys.
Liked it on Facebook.
We do appreciate you guys coming on, and I got to be the straight guy here and keep the show going before the timer runs out. So we do thank you for coming on, and keep us posted about the project in Santa Barbara. Maybe when you get it launched, you can come back on later this year and tell us about what's going on there.
Oh, absolutely. And Frank, I'll be giving you a call this week.
All right, cool. All right, you guys, thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
thank
and you guys
so
have
much.
A nice weekend. Thank you.
Thank
you.
Have a great one.
You
take
too.
Care, guys.
And there you go. That was Infusion, as I like to call them, the soulmates of cooking. And they call them, I guess that Scott calls himself a food freak. So there's two food freak soulmates there. And do check out their website. And Crispy, are you still there with me?
This has been a I don't know what to do with all the information between chocolate and fragrances. I can't even talk. I'm just like, wow, all this stuff, like, I don't know what to do. I mean, just skip Valentine's Day, chocolate and smell good stuff. I mean, I'd just rather slap some chocolate on my neck and walk around Walmart and hopefully I'll attract a chick.
Yeah, well, or a couple of dogs probably. But,
probably.
On that note, I want to mention to everybody, we hope you have a happy Valentine's Day, and make sure you take out someone special and buy them some chocolate and have a good time, have a nice dinner, and Crispy, good luck with you on your Craigslist date.
Yes, awesome. I can't wait. I think she has a peg leg, so that'll be interesting.
Well, take her to Long John Silver's then. That'll work.
Yeah, I know, right? Either that or just stab me in the face with her wooden leg, one of the two.
Or, as another segue, as we close out the show, or you could take her out for pizza. Everybody, have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you next week on Green Ideas Radio, same place, same time. Don't forget about our Friday night show where God knows what will happen
Correct.
On that show. And
yes,
that we'll be
sure.
posting information on Facebook about that one. And you got anything else to add, Crispy?
Just thank everyone for your support and getting us to number two and all the awesome likes on Facebook. And we really appreciate it. It's super cool.
Yes, thank you. And as we sign off here, Crispy, enjoy your date, and if push come to shove, take her out for a pizza.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, here's what they sing. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella.
Bravo, John!
Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a gay tarantella. Lucky fella. When the stars make you drool, just like Pastor Basil, that's amore. When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signora.
Mama!
Excuse me, but you see back in old Napoli, that's signora. That's amore.
If you call her your pet, though she's shaped like spaghetti, that's amore.
That's amore. Bells will ring.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling, ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Sing me the bell.
Be-ta-bell,
hearts will play.
Dippy-dippy-day, dippy-dippy-day.
I can gaze at a bella.
Paratella.
When the stars make you drool, just like a pasta. That's amore.
That's amore.
When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love.
You're in love.
When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming. Body, you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore.
Tutti quanti cantano, everybody sing.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
That's amore.
When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
That's amore.
When you are in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming.
Signore,
prendilo.
Scusami, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore.
Signore.